first scripture lesson today comes from the book of Romans. Let us listen for God's word. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. So last month at the worship design team meeting, Chip asked the people gathered there what 9/11 meant to them and how they thought we should mark the 15th anniversary of that day in worship today. As people shared their thoughts and ideas, the comments sorted themselves out into two basic groups. First, there were all of us who remember vividly that day, where we were when we heard or saw the news that the towers had fallen. Others of us who were actually in Manhattan on that terrible day, or who had family or friends or loved ones who were there, some of whom who survived and some of whom who didn't. These memories and perspectives spoke to the need of some to have an opportunity to remember, to grieve, to appreciate and honor the small acts of kindness and the courageous acts of sacrifice of all of those who lost their lives and whose lives were changed forever on that fateful day. In the second group, there were those of us who certainly appreciate the tragedy and the gravity of what happened on September 11th, 2001, but who also did not want our worship service or our lives to be defined by that one tragic day. Close to a generation of young people have no real memory or personal connection to the tragedy, although it has certainly become a part of our cultural narrative and history. There have been 15 other 9/11s since 2001, and those days have been full of joys and sorrows, triumphs and challenges, just like every day is. I remember learning a year or two after September 11th, 2001, that friends of ours out in Michigan had had their first baby, and the baby was born on September 11th. My first thought upon hearing that news was, oh, poor kid, what a bummer to be born on 9/11. Then I caught myself and said, wait a minute, this is reason to rejoice. This child's birth is a gift of new life and hope for the future. Do I let the terrorist attacks that happened on September 11th, 2001 define this child's entrance into the world? Or should I let the joy and hope of this child's birth reframe my thoughts and feelings about this date? Many of you remember Chris Shelton, who served as a temporary pastor to this congregation through a time of transition. At this very moment, Chris and his husband, Kevin, are in Texas, awaiting the birth of their son with the help of a surrogate mother. Who knows? Maybe that baby will even be born today. And wouldn't that be wonderful news? Chris currently serves as pastor at the Broadway Presbyterian Church in New York City, and in the weekly email that he sent out to his congregation on Friday, he wrote, "One of my favorite hymns opens with these words, 'This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone.'" He goes on to write, "They aren't perfect words, goodness knows. No words will ever suffice to capture the journey that we've been on since 9/11. But I find something deeply meaningful in the idea of a time to remember and move on. We have to do both, don't we? We have to remember the pain and horror. We have to remember the loss of life and the grief of our neighbors. We also have to remember the goodness that overflowed in our city in the days following 9/11. The countless acts of kindness and love, the sharing of food, the sharing of grace and strength and support, the sharing of self that was happening all around us. As 9/11 comes around once again, he wrote, it is time to remember and move on. Remember who we are at our best. People of open hearts, open minds, open doors. And let us move on in that spirit toward the goodness that God has promised us. Chris's words to his congregation echo the words of Paul in our first scripture lesson from Romans. Here, Paul triumphantly proclaims that faith, that completely unearned and undeserved gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ, and living in that faith produces fruit, the fruits of both peace and hope. Even in the midst of suffering and evil, tragedy and despair, we live in hope, a hope that will never disappoint us because it is born of the love of God that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who dwells within each and every one of us every day, no matter what day it is. Hope is the fruit of faithful living that allows us to both remember and to move on, letting the good news of new life in Christ be what defines our past, our present, and our future. Hope is the fruit of faith that calls us to be the best of who God created us to be, both as people and as a church. Courageous and compassionate, generous and joyful, committed to the ways of justice and peace, each and every day of our lives and our life together. Amen.
And let us listen again for God's word in John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking and says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it more fruitful. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is God's word for us this morning. I have football on the brain this weekend. Friday night, my family attended the Pink game at Lakeland High School. Watching the game brought back memories of playing under the Friday night lights in Houston. I remember the excitement of the drum corps bringing the team into the stadium, the hard hits, the personal fouls, throwing catches, bad calls by the referees, and most importantly, the touchdowns, something we unfortunately didn't see too much of on Friday night. Then yesterday, my Baylor Bears won for the second time this season. The Baptist beat the Methodists of SMU. And I'm sure everyone here today will join me this afternoon in cheering for the Cowboys over the Giants. The Cowboys versus the Giants. It doesn't get more epic than that. It all started last week when I heard a story about Vince Lombardi, a New York City native I learned and successful coach of the Green Bay Packers who died this month in 1970. According to the story, Vince Lombardi had a team ritual at the beginning of every season. Whether or not they had won the previous season's league championship, whether or not they had won the Super Bowl, Coach Lombardi would gather his team together. He would take a football in his hand, he would hold it high before the team, and he would say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now, that may seem like stating the obvious to a bunch of professionals, but Lombardi's message was simple and clear. Remember the basics. Practice the fundamentals. That's what wins games, not the trick plays. The same could be said of this summer's Olympic athletes. What we saw on display this past summer was days and weeks and months and years of disciplined practice and training. Baseball players start at a young age with the fundamentals, throwing and catching, fielding and hitting. When you watch a major league game, what's the first thing players do when they come out on the field? They practice throwing and catching, fielding and hitting. They're practicing the fundamentals to get ready for their game. No one ever says, "You know, I learned how to hit in high school, so I don't think I need to practice that anymore." The fundamentals always matter. Which is also true of our faith. Christians practice their faith. They live it. It shapes them. It defines them. We don't say, "I learned how to read the Bible in third grade Bible skills class, so I don't need to do that anymore." Or that adult ed class taught by that amazing co-pastor Tammy is all I ever need. Or, "I helped out at the food pantry a couple of years ago, so I don't need to help other people anymore." Christians are called to be doers of the word, not merely hearers. For people who follow Christ, there is no substitute for putting our faith into practice. As Jesus said, "By their fruits you will know them." By their fruits you will know they are followers of Christ. With that in mind, I'd like to ask you five questions. Five questions that arise from the basic practices of the Christian faith. Five questions that invite us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Five questions that guide us to glorify God with our lives and bear much fruit. Five questions that show us how to join God's mission in the world. Five questions that awaken us to God's presence in us and the people we meet as made in the image of God. How many questions?
Five.
Just want to make sure. Number one, how do you receive God's love and offer it to others? How do you love God in return? How do you learn in community to grow in grace and mature in Christ? How do you serve others? And how do you give back generously? Over the next 2 months, we'll be asking you to think about these questions as we reflect on who God created us to be and who God calls us to be as disciples and the church of Jesus Christ. The basic premise is that God wants us to flourish and be fruitful when we are connected to God, one another, and the world. We will use as our guide a book called The Five Practices of Fruitful Living by Methodist pastor and bishop Robert Snace. The practices that Reverend Snace outlines are fundamental to our personal lives of faith and to our life together as a church. Christian practices, he says, are those essential activities we repeat and deepen over time. They create openings for God's Spirit to shape us. They are not steps that we complete and put behind us, never to repeat again. And practices are not static qualities that some people naturally possess and others lack. Anyone can start at any point and at any level and begin to develop the practices. With the help of the Holy Spirit, the practices will change who they are and thereby what they do. Practices are not simply principles we talk about. Practices are something we do on a daily basis to live the life God created and calls us to live. This fall, our stewardship theme is one simple word: fruitful. Throughout the Bible, it is clear that God intends for us to flourish as the people we were created to be and to be fruitful as the church in all aspects of our life and ministry together. To be and to continue to be fruitful as the people God created us to be, we're going back to the basics, to the practices Jesus established long ago. No trick plays. only a new and a renewed sense of the fundamentals, so that we can open ourselves up to God's transforming grace and discover for the first time or in new ways the difference God intends for us to make in this world. So friends, this is our faith. Amen.